On today's episode of Locked On 76ers, Philadelphia, they're back home to host Portland on Friday night. That means the return of Matisse Thybulle. Why? This is a very interesting one for Sixer fans and to see what Matisse Thybulle does overall. And we'll talk about Keith's story with Matisse Thybulle. That's next right here, Locked On 76ers.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, you are Locked On 76ers. I'm Devon Givens from 97.5 The Fanatic Radio here in Philadelphia, alongside my co-host and partner from TheEnquirer.com, Sixers beat writer, that is Keith Pompey. What's up, Keith?
What's good, man? What's good, D?
Oh, man, all is good, man. All is good. Good to be back with you here on a Friday. We got to thank everybody for making Locked On 76ers your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On 76ers is free and available on all platforms, including right here on YouTube at Locked On 76ers. We got a lot to get into. Keys to the game a little bit later of Sixers Blazers as the Sixers on a three-game win streak. Portland lost in Boston on Wednesday night, so they had Thursday off here on their East Coast trip. And the Sixers also, we need to talk about the partnership of James Harden and Joel Embiid. Are you starting to trust it, Keith? We'll get into that, why they are playing much better together, and also Matisse Thybulle. So that's where we're going to begin, man. You had an opportunity to talk to Matisse Thybulle ahead of his return. He may not be Ben Simmons or some of the other players that have come back in the past as part of a new team after being moved on from, but he did have some success here. He had a lot of ups early on, and then the latter part of his tenure here, a lot of downs. Two-time All-NBA defender as a backup. Yeah, how about that? And even in the second time he made it, he was a starter, but there were times where he did not start because of different issues and all. But all in all, a first-round pick that did hit for this team. He was a specialist, of course, with his defense, but the offense never really caught up, Keith, to that defense, and it started to wear thin on Sixer fans. So when you look at his return tonight, what are you expecting from the crowd? What are you expecting from him as he comes back to Philadelphia now as a member of the Blazers?
You know, I don't know what to expect from the crowd. I mean, it's kind of hard to figure. You know, there are some people who look at it and they'll say, you know what, this guy didn't really get a fair shake this season. And they look at it and they see that, you know, he was, you know, the best perimeter defender, one of the top defenders in the league. But he also was traded, and also some people, you know, once you get traded, it's kind of like, yo, you know what, me and you might have grew up together, you were my boy and all that, but now you're on a different team, so I don't really, like, you know, bang with you like that anymore, so to speak, right? So that could be that, but then there could also be some people who appreciate, you know, what he did, so I really don't know. For him, I think that this could be, you know, it could be an emotional game for him, just because it's your first time back in Philadelphia playing. You know, you're in a place in Portland where you're getting the minutes you would like. You're showing that you can defend and shoot the ball, be the 3-and-D guy that you were. I mean, that you are. But it's also you could press a little bit because you're back in Philadelphia and you want to show everybody that you are that guy. So, you know, when that happens, it can be you get your nerves going, kind of sort of like DeAnthony Melton when he went to Memphis the first game. Like, he was so amped up to play that his nerves weren't really – like, his nerves wouldn't allow him to excel. So, to me, I don't know what we're going to see. I don't. But I will tell you what I saw when I sat down and chatted with him. Like, I saw a guy who was happy, a guy who was having fun with his teammates, a guy who – feels appreciated, a guy who they were raving over just talking to. And I feel like this is a great spot for him in Portland where you can go and play with Dame, a guy that he's known since he was in high school, and you got a defensive-minded coach in Chauncey Billups. So, you know, I think that this team has had a bunch of injuries this year that hasn't enabled them to excel. But when you look at the pickup that he has and that they're picking him up and the guys that they have coming back next year, I think that they're going to be a talented team. It's just that they're just a year away right now.
I'm also curious to see how the fans' reaction will be for Matisse Thybulle. He's a starter too, so he'll be introduced as a starter. And oftentimes, man, unless you really, really shine here in Philadelphia, they're going to let you have it as an opposing player now. And I think that's what's going to happen. Not anything heavy, not too malicious where it's something like that. He'll get a reaction is basically all I'm saying. It's not going to be one of those deals whenever he touches the ball swings to him and people start to boo. I think it's just going to be in the introduction that he'll hear it from the crowd specifically. If he knocks down the three, maybe they'll also mock him because he was a little reluctant to take those shots here in Philadelphia where he might let it fire a little bit more freely with the Portland Trailblazers. Why do you think it, though, Keith, didn't work here in the end between he and this team and why he did fall out of favor, as you just talked about, he didn't get a fair shake. Why do you think that is the case?
You can guess. I mean, to be honest with you, I kind of think that they didn't want to pay him the money, really. I mean, I think two things. I think we could talk forever. Like, I think that the fact that he was unvaccinated, if you notice, he kind of sort of fell out of favor with the Sixers as soon as that happened.
Fans too.
But, you know, I mean, but we can't pick and choose who we want to get upset with when things like that happen as well. But you know, it's like I felt like he fell out of favor with people. And then all of a sudden it was kind of like he went from being the Mr. Untouchable to now like, hey, we went out there and we brought in new guys. Right. And then it got to a point, I feel like, so they got the new guys and then they look at it and it's like, I don't think we want to pay this guy. I mean, we don't. Like, as much as, you know, we people like to trade with Jalen McDaniels, when you look at it, that was kind of like a cost saving trade. It was one of those things where two things, it enabled them to move Matisse so he wouldn't become a restricted free agent. Right. They would have to deal with that. Because you weren't going to pay him. You were just going to lose him. Secondly, it enabled them to get Jalen McDaniels at a cheaper price, enabled them to get under the luxury tax floor. Right. So it's like, okay, so I got a 3-and-D guy, so to speak, even though Jalen's more of like a ball, not ball dominant, but he's handled more than just a regular 3-and-D, but you got him, but you got rid of Matisse. So I felt like it's one of those things where they probably had it in their mind for a while that they were going to trade this dude. And they looking at it and see who can we get that's cheaper than him, who probably has an expiring contract, to where we can look at it and see we're going to evaluate this guy and see if he is a good fit. And if he's a good fit, then we'll bring him back, right? But we're not trying to give Matisse the money that Matisse is going to want on the open, I mean, as a free agent. So I think that was part of the problem, the vaccination and that. Because, you know, it's one of those things, I mean, let's be real, like he worked on his shot early on in the off season, but the first five games he didn't play a lot. Like, he didn't play. One game he got a DNP. I mean, other games he got like 38 seconds, 23 seconds, a minute 18, 2 minutes. So it wasn't like he really got an opportunity to show what he could do, at least early on.
I don't know what kind of money he's going to get on the open market. I wouldn't imagine that it's too much where they didn't want to really pay whatever that money is, because now you're going to have to pay Jalen McDaniels because he's also a free agent this offseason. So they're going to have to do that anyway. As far as the vaccination goes, I was disappointed in him. So I when I said the fans also – I was also disappointed that I felt like he let the team down in a big spot. We're going into the playoffs and you do whatever you can do to help your team. And you're going on the road to play in Toronto for two games and you're down a man, you're down a rotational player. Pardon me, you're down a starter. So that part for me, he got me on that one. Now, we have since moved past that because things have been lifted and you can travel to Toronto and you can play even if you're not vaccinated fully. But that did change things for me of how I looked at him as far as what he would do for the team, especially, again, in the playoff spot like that. So that was me. So I'll just stand on that one. I always liked the player. Was frustrated a lot because of his lack of offense that didn't really show up when it needed to. Because I thought, and it wasn't just that, it was because of what I thought he was able to do as a player with his offense. I thought he was able to do a little bit more. I thought with his athleticism that he would be able to be a guy that can do just a tad bit more than I saw on the floor comfortably. And he had so many other talented players around him that he wasn't going to be the focal point. So when the ball did swing to you and you had an open shot, or you had the ability to put the ball on the floor and drive to the basket and finish with your athleticism, I thought he should have been a little bit further along in year number three in the NBA with the Sixers, and it wasn't. So I wasn't upset when they traded him. He was a good player. I wouldn't be mad if he was still here, but wow, I haven't seen Jalen McDaniels in the playoffs. I already liked the idea of Jalen McDaniels on this basketball team at this stage, probably offensively more comfortable than I was with Matisse Thybulle. Good player, nice player. It worked out when they drafted him. I wish his offense would have caught up a little bit further to his defense. Otherwise, he would probably still be here, but we'll see. And who knows? I mean, the coach may have also played a part in that too, where he lost some things there. Not to say that that's right, because you know I'm not the biggest Doc Rivers supporter, but it was what it was, and now he's gone. So we'll see. We'll see him tonight. And talked about him yesterday. Doc Rivers said he's looking forward to seeing him. He talked to him when he left. He hasn't talked to him since. And you know, hopes he has he feels like he's in a good spot in Portland. Hopes he gets a chance to really shine and be who he wants to be out there. And Tyrese Maxey also pointed out how he's going to be happy to see him. He just has to keep his head on the swivel when he makes a drive, because that guy will come from behind you and block the shot. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see him against his former teammates.
Let me say something, though. Like, the one thing that I want, like, I think some people are taking little shots at him based off of, like, you know, some of his comments. And I think sometimes we want people to be real and be free and tell us how it is. And, you know, whatever it was, you know, there are certain people who tend to be good coaches for certain people, and certain they can't, and certain people they're not good for them. I don't think that mix, it ended up becoming a good mix. I feel like when you look at it.
Doc Rivers, you're saying.
Yeah, Doc Rivers and Matisse. I don't think it was a good mix because, you know, and again, it's just different. Like when we look at Doc, you know, Doc is he coaches people hard. He coaches B-ball Paul hard. He coaches Tyrese Maxey hard and stuff like that. And I feel like, you know, a guy like Matisse likes to be, certain players, they play free. And I feel like, you know, he played where he was afraid to make mistakes out there, because if he gambled and he made a mistake, he knew he was coming off the floor. And that kind of like hamstrung him a little bit. And I think that some people are saying when they hear that, they're like, oh, he's afraid to play in Philly. That ain't got nothing to do with Philly. Like, look, y'all, I'm from Philly. Philly ain't the toughest place in the world. Like, I grew up in Frankfurt all the whole time, this and that. I've been to a lot of different places. If you go to Boston, it's the same type of mentality. If you go to L.A. with the fans, New York, it's the same thing. So don't, like, make it seem like somebody's scared to be in the city. This is the way that they feel like their role is, and they feel like the freedom and stuff like that, right? Because, you know, let's be real. When I first joined the Sixers, there were some people who didn't want to come here and play. And it wasn't because of the city or the fans, because there was no pressure on them. It was tanking. They just didn't want to be here, right? So like, we can't, like, you know, overlook that. And I know some people don't want to hear that, but it's the real. It's the truth. So the thing is, don't always say that somebody, oh, he's soft or he this and that. No, he's telling you that whatever what was going on there wasn't good for him. And then that he's somewhere else and he's thriving. So you can't, like, make it seem like the city. Look, I was walking with the ball down North Philly. I mean, seriously, we busting blocks. Most star athletes would be like, you know what, Keith? I don't know if I'm going to walk down here with you. But he walked down there with his Blazers stuff on, walking the streets of North Philly. People like, what up, TV? Like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? So, nah, that we got to get rid of that narrative right then and there. And I know we got to go to commercial break, but I just wanted to put that out there because I get tired of hearing people say such and such is scared of Philly. Nah. If he was scared of Philly, he would not be walking down North Philly with Blazer stuff on in the middle of the day.
All right. Well, appreciate that. When we come back, we'll talk about Joel Embiid and James Harden, their partnership. Keith, are you starting to finally gain a little more trust for what they are doing? No Matisse Thybulle there, but that'll be James Harden and Joel Embiid. We'll talk about that when we get back right here, Locked On 76ers.
The Nissan's Most Electric Player of the Week is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. Right? The Player of the Week for me this week is, and this was a tough one, D, I'm going to be honest with you, because I could have gone either way, two players. It could have been Harden. It could have been Embiid. I mean, Harden was phenomenal. But then I had to give it to Embiid after Embiid, what he did in the last game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, this guy, what, he had like 22 points in one quarter. Like, he was just unstoppable. He was phenomenal. So he is my Player of the Week. The thing about it is I feel like right then and there when that game, on top of what he did earlier this season against the Joker, Nikola Jokic, is one of those things where I think he has to be the front runner for MVP, right? So we got to talk about it. Like, I mean, my man was fierce. He was brilliant. He was stunning. He was elegant. Like, all the things that you get from this Nissan Ariya. Like, I mean, Joel Embiid, like, they might as well start giving them commercials for it, right? So here we are. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pin-to-your-seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV. The all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com.
Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. Thank you for making Locked On 76ers your first listen for your next. Check out Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It is free and available on all wherever you get your podcasts. Keith, this partnership of Joel Embiid and James Harden, 43 games that they've won, 43-22 with 17 games to play, 17 games to play, yeah, for this basketball team. And they have 65 in the books. How are you looking at this, man, with this partnership? When I was able to talk to some people and ask the question how they feel, it took a while because we know that they were excited about the James Harden part, and they were a big faction of Sixer fans who were not excited about the addition of James Harden because of his style of play with the Houston Rockets. And then when they finally got to see him, it was different, didn't have the explosion, still the dribbling there from time to time, missing step-back three-pointers, things of that nature. And there wasn't a complete buy-in from Sixer fans on James Harden. But now, over the last month or so, maybe even a little bit earlier into January, it really seems like a lot more people are starting to trust the partnership of Joel Embiid and James Harden. Are you there yet? Have you seen it the same way? Do you believe that there is something there now between these two where fans should feel good about those two together?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do. Ultimately, though, I do believe that there are some people who are saying this is great, but we want to wait to see what y'all can do in the playoffs.
No, that part, yes. But yeah, that's the whole point of it. It's leading to that where right now.
Yeah, I do. I understand that. I do. I think so. I mean, when you look at it, you know, we're seeing some stuff that's kind of like historic. I mean, like, you know, we're seeing some things that hasn't happened in over 30 years where you possibly have two teammates who lead the league in their respective categories. Like, James Harden is going to be the assist leader, right? Joel Embiid can end up being the scoring leader, right? Winning a scoring title. So when you say that, it's like, it's phenomenal. And we look at it, you know, that two-man game that they have going, you know, it's crazy. And like, when you slow down and you watch it and you see the highlights, you say to yourself, did Harden really deliver that pass to Embiid? Like, it's just phenomenal stuff. And when he's trailing, so when you look at it and you look at what they did against the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, both of them had 30 points, 10 assists in that game, the biggest win of the season on the road against the number one team, the best team in the league. So how can you not start to have some faith in what they're doing? You know, You know, it's kind of like, and the one thing, Dia, that I will say this about it is whenever they do struggle, I have yet to say to myself, like, oh, well, somebody just dominated those two. I just felt like they went away from the script. Self-inflicting wounds, like you say. So, yeah, I mean, they are giving you something to basically have a little bit of confidence in, but at the same time, and it's going to change, but they're ultimately going to be judged by what they do in the second round of the playoffs.
Yes, they are. And I agree with you. We know that part. For right now, though, the way that they have been playing, 17 games left on the season, game number 66 tonight against the Portland Trailblazers, the trust is really starting to show with the Sixer fans between Joel Embiid and James Harden with their partnership. So we'll see how it all plays out, see if they can continue with it. The one thing that I continue to hear about those two is the health is there. And that's one thing that they can't control. And you just hope that, knock on wood, they go into the postseason fully healthy so we get a really good chance to see how this whole thing will shape out once the postseason gets underway. When we come back, we'll get into the keys to the game tonight. I think we already know one of them, that is stopping number zero and not letting him go off. But we'll get to that on the other side. Final segment right here on Locked On 76ers. And it's a Friday night, and as we have this big game in Philadelphia this evening between Philadelphia and Portland at the end of the game, because Keith and I will have late nights after these basketball games, well into the midnight hours. Oftentimes we're both sitting there, whether he's in the arena, I'm in the arena with him, or I'm back at the studio and we're connecting from my studio to where he is in the arena. Oftentimes, like, hold on, man, let me finish this real fast so I'm not chewing on camera or while we're recording. And one of those things is, you know, I have to look for a delicious treat. And oftentimes I go and make sure I have one of those Built Bars at the studio. So it's healthy. It really is. And surprisingly, you know, you think about it and you look at it, because it is covered in 100% real chocolate. How is this healthy? How is this possible? Well, it is. It's 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. I go from churro to peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, so many fantastic flavors that I like to lean on when I am sitting there doing my work and having a Built Bar. Now, often we would have to get them from built.com, and that's where we would have to lean on to get the Built Bars. Well, now you can also get them at your local Walmart or even Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Go to the pharmacy. Four bar box. You can get them. Cookies and cream, double chocolate, or even coconut puffs. You can get those at Walmart. Or if you like brownie batter and churro, you got to run to Sam's Club. Grab yourself a 13 bar box with those hit flavors. Once again, brownie batter and churro. So if you're like me and you have to have a late night snack, or even something after a workout, or you're just lounging and you just want to have a snack, try the Built Bar. Again, Walmart, Sam's Club, or it's still built.com. You'll thank me later. Welcome back. Locked On 76ers. The 76ers and the Portland Trailblazers will, in fact, go at it tonight. And the one thing that we look at with the Sixers, they're on a pretty good roll here with the three-game winning streak, winning the last three games on that road trip. They're playing really well. They're 43-22. On the other side, Keith, when you talk about the Western Conference and the Portland Trailblazers, they're fighting for a playoff spot. Right now, out of the play-in tournament, they are just one game back of the New Orleans Pelicans and the Los Angeles Lakers with their record of 31-35. They lost their last game on Wednesday to the Boston Celtics. Keith, what are your keys to the game against the Trailblazers tonight?
You know, first of all, you got to stop Dame Lillard. I mean, last time they played him, they did a phenomenal job against him, where they had the bigs come up, like they were showing. There was always a crowd. The only thing that concerns me about this one is that, you know, Matisse Thybulle was one of the guys who helped contain Dame, right? And now he's on the opposing team. And where you have a guy like DeAnthony Melton, who hasn't really been playing, you know, that well consistently on the defensive end as of late. Now, you do have Jalen McDaniels, who is long and athletic and can do certain things. But the number one key is you got to go after the head of the snake, right? You have to, and you have to contain them. And I'm just wondering if they'll be able to do it, duplicate that. You know what I mean? So to me, that's the number one key. Like, I know you got Joel. I know you have James. You have a lot of other guys who could score and put up points. But you can't let that point guard, you can't let Dame Lillard go crazy over you. So you're going to have to devise certain schemes.
Well, we know how capable he is of going off. You know, we already know that he had 27 in the game against Boston. They lost 115-93. And Boston, we know how good of a basketball team they are. There's no reason why the Sixers shouldn't handle this team tonight. Damian Lillard did shoot 7 for 16 in that game against Boston. He was a perfect 11 for 11 from the free throw line. But how about this, Keith? 2 for 8 from beyond. Now, to your point of defending on the perimeter, they have Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, and even Derek White, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They have a variety of different wing defenders, guard defenders and wing defenders that they could throw and give him different looks on the perimeter. For the Sixers, it's probably going to be one of those cases where you look at De'Anthony Melton, as you talked about. We've seen where Tobias Harris in the starting role has also switched on to some of those scoring guards or smaller scoring guards and has been pretty effective in that role. This guy's different. I don't know if that will be the case, especially when you have Jeremy Grant out there on the floor. You have to account for him. So I'm guessing when we look at that, because Matisse Thybulle is starting, Cam Reddish is starting. Are we looking at, oftentimes, Keith, we do this and we kind of guess the matchups. Melton on Lillard, Harris will probably be on Jeremy Grant, and maybe they go with PJ Tucker on Cam Reddish, or vice versa between Tobias Harris and PJ Tucker, and then you have James Harden running around with Matisse Thybulle. Maybe that's how they'll decide to go, but they're gonna have to be able to throw bodies at him, as you just talked about. They just have to simply be able to throw some bodies at him to make sure that he does not go off, because we know how easily it can be. And he's going to want to atone for that poor shooting night that he had against the Boston Celtics, 2 for 8 from beyond. So it's going to be a tough matchup. I'm in agreement with you that that is the start of things there. Make sure you slow him down and also try to contain Jeremy Grant as best as possible. And I think you win the game. I do. And make sure you don't turn the ball over as usual. Get out in transition and run. Slow them down in transition because they do want to run. Don't let them get going. Shaedon Sharpe is a highlight reel waiting to happen off the bench, something like that. You got to match their energy. And the Sixers, they have 7 home games, 2 of them remaining, 7 remaining on the season. 2 are this weekend with Portland here. And then you have Washington back here in Philadelphia on Sunday before they go on the road again for 3. So they have to make sure that they, again, continue to win on their home floor with a 24-10 record. Build up these W's. You're too close to Boston right now to drop games that you should not be dropping. So go out there and let's see how you handle things against this Portland and Washington team this weekend.
Yeah, but here's the one thing I will say. The defense, like if you remember the last game, what mm-hmm. they did is they used Tobias on Jonathan Simons.
And right? He's not playing.
Anthony Simons. I knew it when I came out. Anthony Simons. He's not playing. But I wonder if they try to put Tobias on another wing, like whoever that person is. Like whoever. Like Cam Reddish. Maybe try to use his length, you know, this and that. The thing is, though, when you look at the thing about Dame is easier to defend Dame when nobody else is making shots. Like, you know, Matisse has been shooting 40.9% from 3 since he's been there in those 10 games, right? But he was 0 for 4 against the Celtics, 1 for 6 shooting. So it's one of those things where you look at it, like, and you look at Jeremy Grant, like, if they're not hot, and if you can, like, stand in the way, it's easier for you to collapse on Dame. But because what's going to happen is, people are going to start double teaming Dame, but then if you start hitting your shots, then all of a sudden you're going to back away because you know he's a willing passer, even though he scores a lot of points. But if you're not making shots, you're just and it ain't even a matter of like the Sixers saying, oh, well, we held these dudes or something. Nah, y'all gave them open looks. Other teams are talking about they just can't make the shots. So I think that's the key. Like, who is Tobias Harris going to guard? Like, who is he going to guard? You know what I mean? That's the key. And like, another thing is, how is Matisse Thybulle going to play? Is he going
to? I was about to say, I want to see how they may shade off of him.
That's what's going to probably happen. It's going to happen. But like, the thing is, you know, it's kind of like, some people may say disrespectful, but it's one of those things, dude. You got to make some shots for us to guard you. And if he can't make shots, and it is going to be a pressure packed situation for him. Let's face it, coming back here where they gave up on you, thinking you couldn't get the job done, and now you got to do it against them. So if he can make shots, it's great. If not, I think they'll be in trouble, because to me, that's part of the reason why Boston was able to thump him, because nobody else could do anything. And then if he's having an off night, it's over. It's just over.
Yep. The second best scorer is, in fact, Anthony Simons, Jeremy Grant right after that. And then it's just a crapshoot of, let's see what happens with the other guys. So, yeah, slow him down and you should be able to win this game. And that should be the focus for this one tonight against the Sixers. And we'll see how it all plays out. We thank everybody for making Locked On 76ers your first listen every day. On our next episode, we might be able to bring you on this weekend, kind of recap this one against Portland and preview Washington on Sunday. So now make your second listen, Locked On NBA, Locked On Experts, covering the biggest stories around the NBA every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Keith, you mind letting the good folks know where they could find us?
You can find us wherever you can get these get a podcast at, especially Locked On. You can find my man D tonight from 6 to midnight. Brother working hard. Pre-game, post-game.
I might be at the game for the first half.
Oh, wow.
Do the show from the arena from 6 to 7, 6:45,
whatever. In order for you to get on air, if you're going to leave, and if you don't do it from the arena, you're going to have to leave at halftime, probably.
Yeah.
So, you listen to Divine from 6 to midnight on 97.5 FM. You can also follow my man on Twitter at DivineG975. You can follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. And you can follow me at inquire.com.
Go read Keith's story with the conversation he had with Matisse Thybulle. It's a really good one. Some good information in there. Good perspective from Matisse Thybulle on his end on what he's doing in Portland right now and why things may not have worked out here in Philadelphia. So go read it, inquire.com. Keith Pompey, go check it out. Keith, thanks, man, as always. I'll talk to you later. Thank you, guys.
Peace.